I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Texas is home to 10% of all the children in the United States. And in many ways, public policy in Texas is not meeting the standards of keeping these children safe, healthy, and preparing them for success as they grow up. It's important to understand that the majority of the Texas children are Latino, and that 30% of all the children in the state are immigrants or the children of immigrants. On top of the issues related to immigration, many of the Texas children also face significant risks due to systemic challenges in housing, hunger, education, public health, and public safety. Children at Risk is a Texas-based statewide organization focused on advocacy for children. Their advocacy efforts have led to significant policy changes, but the current climate is harsh. What can be done? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The children of Texas are particularly at risk. They're at risk of not having enough to eat, not having a place to live, not having an opportunity for quality education. They're at risk of gun violence. They're at risk of a failed public health system, and they're at risk of sexual exploitation. And they're at risk of having their futures stolen from them, and that puts all of us at risk. We're joined by Bob Sanborn. He's the president and CEO of Children at Risk, a Texas-based nonprofit, an organization dedicated to improving the quality of life for children through strategic research, public policy analyst, education, collaboration, and advocacy. He's a nationally recognized advocate for children's health and well-being. And Dr. Bob, welcome to The Source.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
You got a lot on your plate.
Way too much, you know, but the children of Texas have a lot, you know, and if we want to have a great workforce, we better have some good kids coming up, and we're not doing a good job.
You would think that trying to improve the lives of children in Texas would be something that everyone could get behind, and it doesn't seem like that is actually the case. We are seeing, even right now, under the Trump administration, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is slashing two programs that provide more than $1 billion for schools and food banks to purchase food from local farms and ranchers, which helps feed children in Texas who are in need, who are in food insecurity.
Yeah, I think when you look across the state of Texas, you know, first off, 10% of all the kids in America are in Texas, right? So we have a lot of kids. In many ways, we're the face of the future. The majority of our kids are Latino. 70% are children of color. You know, it's not something that people want us to talk about, but that is the fact here in Texas. 65%, Dave, of our children are in low-income families. So when we cut food programs and any other programs that we're cutting or that are on the table to be cut, I mean, it directly impacts our kids, and it directly impacts their potential for success. And one of the things that we often talk about is that those of us that grew up in poverty and we made it, you know, we're celebrated, right? It's like, oh, you beat the odds. And frankly, it shouldn't be up to kids to beat the odds to be successful, right? We should have public policies that really help everyone be successful, that the norm be that if you grew up in a low-income household, you can be successful. But it seems like it's getting tougher and tougher. And it's difficult to tell people, well, wait for 4 years and then maybe some of these programs will come back. Or if we're lucky, they're talking a big game and it's not really going to happen. But it's very tough on kids and families right now. And even a lot of those families that voted Republican and voted for the president, you know, they're wondering, what am I going to do about some of the stuff? Sort of, it's like the rubber's meeting the road now, and they're seeing the impact that it might have on their kids.
Our phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. If you can talk about what you've experienced, what you've seen, if you're a teacher, if you work with kids and you see them and you wonder, how are they doing? How are they getting by? How are their families coping? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I mean, when I go to the grocery store and, you know, I'm filling up my carts with, you know, whatever I pretty much want. I see other families, they don't get to do that. They are really struggling, and they're trying to figure out, you know, they're calculating, they're making tough choices, and often because the, you know, starches are cheap and things like that, not exactly the best choices are for food. So that is a struggle for them.
Yeah, it's a real struggle. And when we look at our families, we see a lot of levels of childhood obesity. And some people often say, well, how does that juxtapose, right? How does that work that you have families that are hungry and yet there's childhood obesity? And part of it is that, you know, the reward for families that have hunger or food insecure, the reward is, you know, a Happy Meal at McDonald's or the equivalent. And it's unhealthy food becomes your reward. And so we see that happening as well, is that here you are starving for calories and you're trying to make ends meet. And then if a little something good happens, you know, you go directly to the unhealthy food. And moreover, I think what's really important is that regular nutritious food, if we want our kids to be successful, there has to be public policy that sort of backs this up, right? So if you have this large percentage of kids that are in low-income families, what are we doing to sort of make it easier for them to be successful? And are we doing, you know, a healthy school breakfast in the schools and a healthy school lunch? The federal government historically has provided after-school snacks and after-school supper. Some districts do a very good job of making sure that kids get that food. Other districts don't see it as important. And then now that we see that the federal government's cutting some of these food programs, it's going to become even more difficult for these kids to be successful. And, you know, we're talking about food right now, but you could look at childcare, which is another area. You know, you want parents to be in the workforce. Public education, historically the best way that kids get pulled out of poverty, they break that cycle of poverty through a quality public education. That's under attack right now in Texas. And so it's thing after thing after thing that have historically helped our children and that research shows make a difference in the terms of children's academic success and children's success overall. Those things are being cut right now and or under threat of being cut. And I think it's hard on these families. And, you know, we could go on mental health in Texas, always something that is completely underfunded. Healthcare in Texas, we have, when you look at Houston and Dallas and San Antonio, those are in the developed world, the whole world in the developed world, those are the three most underinsured cities. And so these are not the things that we should be talking about in Texas. We should be talking about how successful we're doing with our kids and all the great things that we're doing to make sure that kids can really be a great part of that vibrant economy of ours.
So I'm going to address the elephant in the room here. Yeah. When you talk about the you know, Texas is home to 10% of all the children in the United States, and that, you know, the majority of these kids in Texas are Latino, 70% are children of color. The people who are making the decisions about how to protect our children and give them a positive future, they see them as not their kids. They see them as the other kids.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, as you go older in the population, right, you start seeing sort of a whiter population and a more affluent population. And so if you're in the suburbs of Dallas and you're white and affluent, you know, maybe you think it's not as big a deal, but certainly if you're in the state legislature, you seem to think it's not as big a deal that this is the majority of our kids. But, you know, you started today by talking about how ostensibly with kids, we should be all on the same page. And I think people do talk a good game. And inevitably, when we visit legislative offices in Austin, people want to talk to us no matter which party, because everyone cares about kids. But you these days, you have to frame everything in the language that each party wants to hear. And you have to have policies that have worked in other red states, you know, that can translate to Texas.
Yeah, we have to figure out common ground.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think you have something like that tomorrow. We're going to talk about that coming back from this break, about how you have an anti-human trafficking summit here in San Antonio tomorrow, yeah, focusing on protecting kids. We'll talk about that. Also, our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255. What do you think we can do to protect children at risk? Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. According to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 65% of human trafficking survivors are recruited online. That means if your children are online, they are exposed to this type of grooming that happens online all the time. Children at Risk is hosting an anti-human trafficking summit tomorrow here in San Antonio, where they're going to be talking about how to protect children in the digital age, solutions for preventing exploitation and trafficking. We're joined by the director, the president of the organization Children at Risk, Bob Sanborns. And Dr. Bob, what do y'all hope to accomplish here?
Well, I think one of the things when we have these summits, you know, they're done virtually, so anyone anywhere in the state of Texas can listen to them. And I think our hope is that more people understand that Texas is a hotbed for human trafficking. And in many ways, I think there are a couple things that contribute to that. One is that here in Texas, we sort of have this Wild West sort of mentality. I mean, you go to San Antonio or Houston and Dallas and, you know, more strip clubs per capita than most other cities in America. So it's sort of this, you know, this Wild West live and let live sort of thing.
I think you guys did a study about the illegal massage parlors being so close to schools in Texas.
We did. And I think the quote that the governor then quoted that I had was on the front page of the Chronicle was that we have, just in Houston, there are more illegal brothels than there are Starbucks. And I think, you know, and it wasn't that far away in Dallas and San Antonio either. And I think that when you see all of this happening, part of it is that, you know, we have this culture around it, but it's not necessarily around the traffic, right, where the traffic is. And it's not necessarily that we're close to the border. It's that we have money. We have, you know, you look at where these brothels are and they're on the parts of town where there's money, you know, the north side of San Antonio, the west side of Dallas, the west side of Houston. This is where the brothels are. They're not on the wrong side of the tracks. And so when we do these summits, Dave, I think it's all about really raising awareness and letting people understand that it's a problem here, but there are solutions. And this is something that's been bipartisan in terms of passing a lot of legislation, but it really hasn't alleviated the problem that much. And we're talking about a broken foster care system that produces a lot of these victims of trafficking and kids that have been abused, kids coming out of poverty. Sometimes people think it's mostly kids from other countries, but indeed it's mostly young Texans, young Americans.
I'm going to take a caller here. We're going to come back to this topic, but let's see what Ernest has to say. And Ernest, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just think it's a real shame that our governor and his people have no empathy for these kids. They seem to distract as the man was just saying there about the brothels and such. You know, they just seem to always bring up things of that to distract the people from the real needs. And the needs, as he mentioned, are our kids. They're going to be the ones that take the brunt of this, all these cuts that are going to occur. To begin with, I guess when you're a kid, you know, you think about eating food as part of your existence. And I think a lot of us adults also. But my point is that I think that it's just a shame that the local government, the head of the governor has no empathy and has no Christian. And if he says that he's a Christian, I beg to differ. I don't think that that's part of Christianity to take things away from especially the young people that have no way of doing for themselves.
All right. Well, Ernest, thank you for that comment. I'm in no position to look into the heart of anyone, much less Governor Greg Abbott. But so your reaction to this, Dr. Bob?
Yeah, I think that Ernest makes a good point, right? That policymakers and the leaders in our state really need to look and figure out what is going to make kids successful. And the governor has spent a lot of time on vouchers. And I get that a lot of people that vote for him are itching to have a subsidy for their kids that are in private school. But when we're looking after the majority of our kids, it's not about a subsidy to be in your current private school, because the majority of our kids are just in public schools. And when you have the double hit of the pandemic and kids still, you know, being behind academically because of that, the pandemic, and then the state not funding or not increasing any funding for our schools for the last two legislative sessions, that's very, very difficult on schools. That's difficult on kids that are not getting the schools that they want. When we do our annual school rankings at Children's Risk, where we look at the data for each individual school so the parents can see what's going on, you know, we have some of the best public schools in the country here in Texas, but we have some really bad ones as well. But that's not enough for us to say, well, let's give that up and send, you know, 10% of our kids to private schools. That is not the answer. The answer is finding out what's working in those schools that serve low-income kids. And there's a significant group of schools that serve low-income kids that are doing very well. And you don't have to look any farther than the Rio Grande Valley to see some of that happening. Right. And you know, that's really where the governor and the leaders of our state should be focusing. Public education needs a lot of attention.
Let's go to Julie. And Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was a teacher in Houston for 34 years, retired for about 15 now. And what I have seen is the adults, the legislature, the government has gone downhill on its care for children and the less fortunate. You say that our common ground is that everybody cares for children. That is not evident. We have cut school lunches, we have cut services, and now we're trying to cut out the public schools. The Texas Constitution is all about free public schools. Article 7, the first paragraph, that phrase is in there four times, free public schools. Texas, this state, needs to care for all of the children, not just some. Nurture them, give them everything they need to get all the way through school. And it may sound trite, but they really, really are the future. They will be in charge of all of us. And we just hope that they're going to be knowledgeable, capable, kind. The vouchers are not going to promote that. There's a whole majority of children that will not be able to access those.
Julie, thank you so much for the call. The last stat I saw is that 85% of children in Texas attend a traditional public school. That means that we value more, I guess, what, the 15% who will be going to these private schools, that will be getting these voucher dollars, taking away money from the private schools, from the public schools to the private schools. Bob?
Yeah, and you know, they want to put $1 billion into these vouchers. $200 million of that is for kids that are already in private schools. $200 million. And, you know, that's outrageous. And, you know, Julie made this point about, you know, we are not where we need to be. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I'll often, an exercise that I'll use with crowds is I'll ask experts, you know, what letter grade would you give to the status of our kids in Texas? How are our kids doing? And Texans are so optimistic by and large. They'll always say B minus, you know, maybe a B. But the reality is, when you look at the data, our kids are probably, in terms of how we take care of our kids, we're probably at a D, you know. But we have this optimism and we want things to be better. But if our government, by all measures and looking at the data, is getting a D for how they take care of kids, that does not bode for a good future. And if kids are the future, you know, it's a future of undereducated people in our workforce that are underperforming, you know, potentially ruled by a group of kids that were lucky enough to get a subsidy and go to private school. And, you know, this is not what we want for Texas. This is not the Texas that most people in our population grew up in.
All right, so we got to take a break here. But when we come back after our pledge drive break, we're going to be gone for about 5 minutes. I mean, we're describing a problem. Everyone knows the problem. But what are the solutions? How do we organize? How do we emphasize that we care about Texas children, and therefore we want our representatives to care for our Texas children as well? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're discussing children at risk in Texas, and we're joined by the president and CEO of Children at Risk, Bob Sanborn. And Dr. Bob, let's talk about a little bit more about the summit that y'all are going to be having in San Antonio tomorrow. This is focusing on sexual exploitation of youth in Texas, especially in the digital age, solutions for preventing exploitation and trafficking. And how is this still a problem, an issue? This has been going on for a long time. Haven't we been able to come up with safeguards?
Yeah, I mean, Texas has tried a little bit, right, in terms of sort of access to pornography sites and so forth. But I think that we're going to have to, you know, understand that free speech and children sometimes is a tough thing, right, in terms of, you know, access to certain websites and so forth. But more important than that, I think, Dave, was that the idea that parents have to understand that they really have to inject themselves into the technical life of their children. And I think that's a big part of this, is that that relationship with the parent and their child and their ability to understand what their kids are doing and understand what's happening with their phones and their tablets and, you know, computers. I think that's going to be a big part of it. You know, parents have always been sort of that first line of defense for our children when it comes to technology, and they're going to have to get in there. And for a lot of parents, that's tough, you know, especially a lot of working parents, low-income parents. They're busy. They don't have time to learn new technology. But I think to keep our kids safe, we're going to have a little bit more of that.
Some people may have the false idea that their child's safe because it's a boy. But we're now finding out that gender is no longer, it's basically the same. Boys and girls are being trafficked basically at the same rate in Texas.
Yeah, I think that's always a surprise to people when they understand that boys and girls alike are trafficked in really almost equal numbers. And it's just sort of a sad thing that we have to understand that this is what's happening in our cities. And in many ways, we're letting this happen in our cities. And we have to crack down on this and crack down on it without sort of infringing on the civil liberties of others. But these are our kids, and there's a lot to be said about what we need to be done to make sure our kids are all safe.
I mean, just walk through, this is how I have learned about this situation, is that you may have a child online, and they are maybe griping about their parents or something happening in their household. They got grounded and they're online and someone is talking to them. Wow, you don't deserve that. You should run away. Come over here. I'll take you in. You know, it'll be cool. And then they will run off with this one individual that you don't know anything about and may never see them again.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the scenario. I think the other thing that happens is that there's a lot of prey on boys and girls that have low self-esteem. And finally, they meet someone online who they think is maybe a little bit older friend that seems to sympathize and seems to understand them and is happy to talk to them. And again, they're exploited and they're, you know, lured away. So a lot of this luring happens under false romantic pretenses, boys and girls. And it also happens under this idea of, I understand you, your parents do not understand you. And so you're catching kids at a vulnerable time. And those of us that have teenagers or were teenagers at some point get this, right? I mean, it's very tough. You know, being a tween or a teen in our state and our country is a tough part of life. And that's the vulnerable time when these predators strike.
So I'm going to pivot back to what we were talking about earlier about all the different ways that the state of Texas seems to not be meeting basic standards in protecting the children of Texas. We know that they're at risk of gun violence. We have a failed public health system as we have a measles outbreak spreading throughout the state of Texas. We also have the, food insecurity. Affordable housing is not available. Many children are now having to worry about where they're going to live. And we have the quality education is being taken away, even if it's there at all, for many kids in Texas. And what can be done about this? How do we organize? How do we emphasize to our lawmakers that this is not something we're going to expect? What can people do about that?
Yeah, I think that question of, you know, what we should do, what does the evidence show really works? You know, these are the things that parents and others need to unite behind. You know, what works for our kids? And when you look at all the evidence, the sort of the single best thing that helps low-income kids be successful, and frankly, any child be successful, is high-quality early education, high-quality daycare, high-quality pre-K. San Antonio understood this very early on, you know, with pre-K for SA. But it has to be much bigger than pre-K for SA. It needs to be in every school district. Really, every kid needs to be getting pre-K. And every parent needs to have access to high-quality early education as well. These are things that really, you know, if you ask a bunch of experts if they could do one thing that would help kids be successful, they'd all say high-quality early education. I think the next thing, though, is the quality public schools, K-12. You know, again, these universal schools, making sure that our schools are up to speed. There are plenty of good examples in Texas of schools that are doing right by low-income family kids. And I think this is what we need to focus on. What are the things that they're doing? I think there are other programs. You know, sometimes when I talk to legislators, they talk about this idea that college is not for every kid. Well, the fact of the matter is that some of the programs that help those kids that don't want to go to college, that, you know, that want to be phlebotomists or medical assistants, you know, even those programs are often tough for kids to get into. So that needs to be made easier. But frankly, Texas is one of the few states where there are a lot of kids that should be going to college that are not going to college. And we probably need to be doing a much better job of that. One of the things that we understand is that when you go to a four-year college, your salary is going to be higher. You are going to break that cycle of poverty. And when there are kids that should be going to college that aren't going, you know, we need to do more around that. So those are probably some of the bigger answers. There's a lot of other things, you know, in terms of health. Why haven't we expanded Medicaid in our state? And I remember you brought up gun violence right after Uvalde. An astute reporter said, Governor, you know, this is the press conference in Uvalde, Governor, you said you're going to bring a lot more money to mental health after this. Does that mean you're going to expand Medicaid and get all that free federal money? And he's like, no, we're not. We're going to find the money elsewhere. Well, we never found the money elsewhere. We are 51st in terms of funding, and that includes Washington, D.C., 51st in terms of funding and access to medical care for kids or for mental health care for kids. So it's just a travesty.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to join the conversation and help us, figure this out, square the circle about why is it that we keep electing people to office in Texas who don't seem to want to pass bills that are going to support the children. So, you know, the last election season, Bob, we saw a lot of campaign ads that were freaking parents out about transgender bathroom use and migrants, going to kill their children and all this other kind of stuff. No one is running on these issues. No one is running on I'm going to protect public education because it doesn't seem to win elections.
Yeah, I think, when you saw a lot of these ads, it was all about transgender, which is such a small part of the population. You know, it gets people excitable, right? I think all these issues, they get people going. But the reality is that what really transforms the lives of kids are not some of these small issues. It's the big issues like public education. Moreover, you know, you had all these Republicans that were against vouchers, rural Republicans that were against vouchers, because, you know, there are no private schools in most of rural Texas, and the biggest employer is usually the local ISD. But people went out and campaigned actively against those anti-voucher Republicans, saying that they were soft on the border. And they were all, almost all of them were defeated because you had people saying they were soft on the border, when indeed the only thing they were soft on was money to go into private schools instead of supporting their local ISDs. And so it's almost like this big game that's rigged against sort of average folks and average kids. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we need every parent, affluent and non-affluent, to say, we care about kids, and what does the research show really helps these kids, and let's do that. And that's not really happening by and large in Texas.
So how does the state's high dropout rates and low literacy levels, how does that contribute to the cycle of poverty?
Yeah, absolutely. Those kids, you know, you drop out of school, you're really never going to get anywhere. And, you know, you hear little stories about, you know, Bill Gates dropped out of college, you know, but these are such small.
And he's a genius.
I'm sorry.
And he's a genius. Okay. Yeah. And he's from a very well-off family, and he didn't, you know, he made it work.
Yeah, exactly. But it practically never works. Right. And so we may have a few instances where it worked, but practically never. It's not a good policy to say drop out of school, because those kids by and large will end up in poverty, in low paid careers, and really not reach the success that many of us would like our children to reach. And so when we talk about that, when we talk about low literacy means you're destined to drop out, right? And so these are kids that are just underperforming, that are never going to be where we would like them to be. And, you know, people talk about burdens on society. If there is a burden, you know, these might be those kids. And so it's almost like that old oil filter commercial. You could pay me now or you could pay me later. And the idea is pay now and put money into those systems that we know will help kids be successful. And one of those is, you know, it's early education, it's K through 12 education. Get those kids on the right path, because otherwise it's not going to work out for us in Texas.
When we come back, I also want to touch on what's happening with public health in Texas. We know that the measles outbreak continues to spread. This is something that's totally avoidable. Why is it that the state of Texas is failing kids, putting children at risk in that regard? And you can call in and talk about children at risk. What can Texas do to protect our children? What have you seen in your community, in your family? 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me online is Bob Sanborn. He's president and CEO of Children at Risk. And they are going to have a summit in San Antonio tomorrow looking at and informing the public about how children are at risk of being sexually exploited and trafficked online. They are gathering top experts, and you can find out more about that on our website at tpr.org. You can view it online as well. So we're having this measles outbreak, Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it spread. There's a lot of shaming going on. I don't think that works in trying to educate the public about, like, we need to vaccinate people, but what do you see happening?
Yeah, we had a press conference on this yesterday with pediatricians from all over the state, right? I think the pediatric community is rightfully very worried about what's happening and about the spread of this. And there should be no shaming, but I really feel like we have downplayed vaccinations on purpose, you know, sort of at a higher level after COVID. And this is a matter, you know, when you see these kids, you know, one who has died, many who've been hospitalized, it really goes straight back to vaccines. All of these kids, by and large, were unvaccinated. And so something very simple as getting your vaccine, this is a vaccine, unlike the COVID vaccine, this is a vaccine that's been around for 50 years. We know that it saves lives. We thought that measles was eradicated in 2000, I think it was declared. But now, because of lower levels of vaccination, we see it rise again. And parents just need to understand that this is a very infectious disease. It's very dangerous. Kids will get sick. Kids will be hospitalized, brain inflammation, possibility of death. It's nothing to think that, you know, maybe just a little bit of vitamin A is going to take care of it, because it's dangerous. And so this is part of our public health infrastructure in Texas, in that we have not, you know, our levels of vaccination have gone down for children in this state, and they need to raise up again to stop this sort of stuff from happening. And because, you know, infectious disease experts have said for some time that as this goes down, we're going to see these outbreaks in larger and larger numbers, and it's happening.
So Bobby Kennedy Jr. today said that measles is not a concern. We should all get measles, that it'll strengthen our immune system. That is not true. No. You know, if you get measles, it strengthens your immune system against measles. It doesn't increase it for anything else. And if you survive it, and we do know that, as we have seen in Texas, that 1 6-year-old girl did not survive it in West Texas, and we don't know what the future holds as the numbers continue to rise for hospitalizations. This thing about raising your vitamin A level by taking in castor oil, cod liver oil, that's something from the way back machine. I don't know how that came back, but some people think that is not going to help you. If you're vitamin A deficient, it is because you're dealing with extreme malnutrition. Almost all of us have more than enough vitamin A in our system. Having more of it is not going to protect you against the measles. The fact that there is so much disinformation being passed around about this outbreak in West Texas, and it's being mouthed by people who are in positions of authority who should be caring about these children, instead of saying, well, you know, if they die, they die. You know, that happens all the time. That is not acceptable. I mean, your reaction?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that, moreover, one of the things that we pointed out at this press conference yesterday, we had a couple of pediatricians that were Latino, is that the Latino population, by and large, does want to be vaccinated. They just want access to vaccines, and they want it to be accessible. And when you have a state that downplays vaccines, it becomes harder, right? I mean, if you're a very busy parent and your state is downplaying this medical, miracle drug, of vaccines, then maybe you say, well, I don't really have time, and the state doesn't seem, our leaders don't seem to think it's as important. And the opposite needs to happen. Our leaders need to be saying, these are important things. And frankly, for our Latino population, you know, they also need to be hearing from other leaders and other trusted sources that get these vaccinations. It's very, very important. And the level of vaccination in most other Latino countries is higher than in Texas, and we need to make sure that the majority of our kids, the vast majority, right, 95% are vaccinated. That's where we're going to get that community immunity that's so important.
Bob Sanborn, he's the president and CEO of Children at Risk. They are looking at how to protect Texas children from multiple angles. You can look at them online. They have a full agenda, lots of information. They have a event here in San Antonio tomorrow about anti-human trafficking and sexual exploitation of youth in Texas. And thank you so much for joining us today, Bob. Appreciate it.
Dave, anytime.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening. And we're going to pledge drive right after this, before we go to the news. Stay with us.
My name is Danielle Kurtzleben, and I am a White House correspondent at NPR. I've covered a lot of elections. I have talked to countless voters. All of those conversations have very much given me a grounding in what is important to everyday Americans. Trump and his administration and his allies are flooding the zone very effectively right now. I try to find the things that other people have not noticed, stories that are maybe undercovered or nuances of stories that are undercovered, the way that a certain policy is being implemented, the way a policy affects someone. I really like to say things plainly and try to get around not just jargon, but sort of the Washington and power way of looking at things. If a politician is lying or is talking around something, I just want to give it to them straight. Support journalism that holds the powerful to account. Donate to this station today, and thank you.
And you can call Texas Public Radio. Pledge your support. Keep public radio strong here in San Antonio, across Texas, across the nation. We're doing it together. All the stations are working together to provide you the coverage that you depend on at the White House, at the Pentagon, at the public housing issues, public health issues, all these things you depend on that keep you and your community safe and informed. Call right now, 800-622-8977. And you can also go online at tpr.org and Dan Katz.
We've got a challenge right now. We're looking to raise $5,000 by 3 p.m. today. And we've had two listeners, two new sustaining contributors from San Antonio pledging in the last few minutes. So we have $4,182 left to go to meet our goal before All Things Considered starts today. If these kind of conversations that you hear on The Source are powerful to you, are important to you, are worth defending, are worth protecting, then give us a call, 800-622-8977, tpr.org.
So if you ever get a chance to come to the Texas Public Radio headquarters, you might notice right away that we have a lot of awards and all of our cabinets are all over the place. We have some just piled up, you know, that we got last year. We haven't even had a chance to put on the wall yet. If we could just turn those awards into money, that would certainly go a long way in helping us, you know, keep Texas Public Radio, stable. But, you know, there's a reason why we get all of this recognition for journalism. It's a way that it recognizes that Texas Public Radio is providing quality, exceptional journalism to our listeners. These awards also promote the fact that we are promoting diversity and inclusion. Those are part of it as well. It shows that we are strengthening public media through the quality of our work. And this is also because we are fostering collaboration with all the public radio stations in Texas and bringing you top shelf journalism. This, you can't get this anyplace else. If you're dependent on other sources of media, I think that you're going to be missing out on quite a bit. Public media journalism is exceptional. It is unique. It is second to none, and we're able to prove it day in and day out. And that's why we need your help. We don't want to cut any corners. We're not going to cut any corners, but we do need your help. 800-622-8977 is the number to call to support your public radio station.
Our local newsroom together, we were recognized with the Edward R. Murrow Award for overall excellence in the entire country in the year 2022 and the year 2023. And we've been also recognized for overall excellence in large market radio for the state of Texas from the Texas Association of Broadcasters for the last 2 years. And if you wonder how we manage to maintain this standard day after day, year after year, in the face of the challenges we face, Danielle Kurtzleben was just talking about flooding the zone and having so much to cover. We also have a lot of technical issues that we've had to push through in order to bring you the news day in and day out. But the answer to that question, how do we keep that standard so high? The answer lies closer to home than you might think. The real power behind TPR is our community of listeners. It's the financial support of members that make it possible for us to bring you the stories that expand your horizons and help you see more nuance. And when you become a monthly donor, you're investing in the informed dialogue that's crucial for a healthy democracy. So start your monthly gift now. When you do, Bubble Bath Car Wash is going to help provide a nutritious home-delivered meal on wheels, meal to a neighbor in need through the Meals on Wheels program. Call 800-622-8977 or give online at tpr.org.
You've probably been listening to Texas Public Radio for years, and you haven't become a member yet. I can say that because we know that 9 out of 10 people who listen and listen regularly are not members. But now's the time to say step up and join the Texas Public Radio Club and become a sustaining member. You can do it at $5 a month, and it's a vital in fundraising and protecting Texas Public Radio, making sure that we can continue to provide you the real, reliable, and thoughtful, curated content that you depend on. Membership even comes with a thank you gift, such as a Texas monthly subscription or a TPR shirt. Join today. Invest in a service that you've been using for free all of this time. No one is going to yell at you. No one is going to call you names. No one's going to call you out or at all. The same. We're just going to say, welcome to the club. It's great to have you on the board. I'm glad you enjoyed it for all this time now. And we're even more glad that you're now deciding to become a member of Texas Public Radio. It's easy. It's fast. It's fun. Go to tpr.org or call in 800-622-8977.
You know, we are talking to 95% of you listening right now are not members.
Yeah, we're also talking, we have a number one rated news station in town, right?
That's right. We're the number one news station in San Antonio. We are proud of that. We've been able to get to that place because of listener support. So we need more listeners, more members in order for us to grow, to meet the moment, and to defend the challenges that public broadcasting faces right now. 800-622-8977 is the number to call to participate. And thank you so much.